Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody today. We have a few visitors. Glad that you're worshiping with us today. I appreciate that song that Colin just led. I love to tell the story. It's kind of leading into the lesson. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16, and there's not a doubt that Paul loved to tell the story of Jesus. This verse proves it. And as we sang that song, I know we like to tell the story of Jesus, whether it be from the pulpit or you telling others about it, your children, raising your children to know who Jesus is. Whether it be your neighbors, the people you work with, to tell that story to them. When we think about it, somebody long ago, and probably not just one person, you know, very rarely does only one person have an influence on another to become a Christian. Every so often that happens, but it's usually a team effort. One will plant, another will water, another will help build up that soil and tend that young growing person. Another may baptize and so forth, but we tell that story by our actions, by our deeds, by the conduct, by the attitude that we convey to others. Our verse that Dick read, and I appreciate him reading those other verses, our talk today is going to be focused on this. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Amen. Starts out, for if I preach the gospel. We got to ask ourselves, what is being preached? What is that gospel? But one thing I would like to focus on real quick is what should not be preached? What should not be considered that gospel that Paul is talking about? Feel-good stories. You know, a lot of times people will go into a religious assembly and the person tells a lot of great stories, better than I can tell. And they're great orators. And they can inspire people with these good stories, but real short on Scripture. Real short on the Bible. We can get good, feel-good stories all over. From TV, from YouTube, from self-help seminars. But Paul is talking about, for if I preach the gospel, not psychology, although there is a lot of psychological benefit we can get from the Bible. Although there is a lot of self-help we can get from the Bible. But there is a lot of messages that we get that don't even get close to the Bible, that are being called self-help and introspection, looking into yourself and so forth. The follow me message. We don't want, and I'll put it this way, I don't want anybody to ever, not that you would, but I don't want anybody following me. There's a big difference between the messenger and the message. Big difference. And Paul never wanted anybody to follow him. He wanted people to follow the message he was preaching about Jesus.
Amen.
There's a lot of health and wealth gospels that if you believe, life is going to be a walk in the park. You talk about false doctrine. I think we all know that just because we're a Christian does not mean it's going to be easy. Just because we're a Christian doesn't mean that we're not going to have issues. It's always amazed me. Life's tough. That's not what amazes me. It amazes me how people go through a tough life without Christ. It's tough enough with Christ. And how people do it without God in their life, without the avenue of prayer, without a hope of something better. Could you imagine that this is the best we've got to look forward to? And there are people that focus on that. That this is the best we have to offer. We have something so much better than that in the afterlife. But when Paul says, "For if I preach the gospel," we have to look at what is being preached. In Acts 20, verse 27, he says, "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." We need to make sure that when we study, it's not the buffet Christianity attitude. That the things we like, we'll take a few extra helpings of, but the things we don't want to hear, let's shy away from that. I don't want that. And Paul did not just limit to the feel-good sermons. He didn't just limit to the things people wanted to hear. Because that wouldn't be beneficial to them. If our mom and dad only did the things that we wanted when we were growing up, we would live on a diet of chocolate pudding. We would, you know, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings by letting them play in the street. Might hurt their self-esteem. My mom would have yanked my arm off getting me out of the street. I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. In 2 Timothy, we read this passage. We read the words off the page at this location, this passage, so many times. We usually focus on verse 2. Preach the word. Paul is talking to Timothy. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. But then the next verse, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Paul is warning Timothy, you preach the word when it's convenient, when it's not, when they want to hear it, when they don't. The things that are easy to preach, the things that are sometimes uncomfortable to preach. Because people will push aside teachers of the truth and replace them with people that will tell them the things they want to hear. And Paul said, for if I preach the gospel, that's the gospel. The good news of Christ, not just the things you want to hear. He goes on to say, if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. I'm compelled. I'm driven. I have to do this. He feels it's his duty. That he's got to do this. And when you boil it down, he lived a totally devoted life when he became a Christian. In fact, he was very zealous when he wasn't a Christian, but in the wrong way. He was so zealous that he sought after Christians because he thought that he was doing it for God. Throwing families in prison because they were believers in Christ. Thought he was doing Judaism a great service, doing God a great service. When he became a Christian, he just shifted the zeal. He didn't all of a sudden get a zeal to serve God. It was the same personality, but he realized it wasn't really costing him much when he was a Jew, when he was against Christianity. When he became a Christian, it cost him, at the hands of people like he used to be, being beaten severely, being stoned, left for dead, shipwrecked, imprisoned. It doesn't say, but I wonder how many times it went through his mind. Just one of those questions I have. I wonder how many times when Paul was sitting in prison, this is what the people felt like because of me. Paul spent the rest of his life dedicated to God, suffering hardships, but it was a small price for him when you consider what had been done for him. He lived X amount of years in hardship, but it was nothing in comparison for what he was going to get out of it. Eternal life, that he was forgiven. A man that was responsible for people being put in prison, a man that was responsible for the death of people. He was present at the stoning of Stephen. He didn't throw any rocks, but he sure made sure he kept an eye on their coats. He had a lot to make up for. And he lived the rest of his life every day trying to do that for what had been given him, the forgiveness, the salvation. And he wanted to share it with others. For if I preach the gospel, I don't have anything to boast of. Necessity is laid upon me. In Luke 17:10, Jesus was telling his disciples, he says, so likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. It's not a thing, oh, I got to do this, I got to do. We have to because Jesus wants us to. And anything we do pales in comparison what Jesus did for us. In Acts 9, verse 20, we see that necessity that Paul felt. Right after he was baptized, he didn't take some time off. He didn't, well, I need to learn a little bit. I need to get my feet up under me as a Christian. It says immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. He took the gospel to the very people that he had been trying to stand up for as a Jew. and was trying to show them that Jesus is the Son of God. Right contrary to what he had been doing just a little bit before. In Acts 28, starting in verse 30, it says, then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. He taught all that came to me. No, I'm a little busy today. Okay, you know, did you make an appointment? You know, I'm on my time now, guys. You know, come back Sunday. He taught. He was glad that he had the opportunity to share the gospel with others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, says, and I, brethren, I love looking into this part of Paul. I don't picture Paul like this at all. I picture Paul as almost this superhuman Christian with a cape, a big P on his chest. That's the way I picture Paul. At least that was the results of his actions. But here we see some of the things that makes Paul like us. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. We get just these few verses. We see a little bit of Paul that I don't automatically think of. He didn't come with the, and you know he was educated. He was an educated man, powerful in the Jewish scriptures. He didn't come, you know, with all this persuasive talk and talking over people and using the big highfalutin words. He came preaching. You know what I know? I know that Jesus Christ was crucified for us. That's what he came preaching, with much fear and trembling. Paul spoke boldly to the people. But inside, I get it. I get this. With fear and trembling. I know that's why I've got knee problems. That's why my knees are shot from the shaking together, banging against each other for so much. And he ends up, he says, yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. He understood it's needed. It was needed. Preaching the gospel was needed for us. Somebody preached and we heard the gospel. Now, some of us in here might have been sitting one day alone in our living room reading the Bible and came about it all by yourself. That's possible. But chances are somebody or people have preached the word to us, have studied with us, and probably more than one. He understood it is needed to save souls. And it was his, and it's our responsibility to share it with others. In Acts 4:12, Peter understood that concept. In the early days of the church, Peter preached, "Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Peter understood that. Peter had the privilege of walking, talking, and learning what Jesus had taught him. And he shared that gospel. He shared that message with others. And so did Paul. In Romans 10, he says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?" Great questions. We've got to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. That belief in him as the Son of God is one of the steps of salvation. How are you going to believe unless you've heard about him? And he goes on to say, "And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And we're not just talking about the preacher that stands up front. You and me preaching through example, conduct, deed, word, that Jesus is the Christ. And that there's no other way of salvation. You, just like Peter says, there's no other name. You can't be saved by power. You can't be saved by fame. You can't be saved by money. You can't be saved because I'm the king. It's through Jesus. He goes on to say, "And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." Now, it's not the feet that are beautiful. Just like it's not the water that saves. Nothing special about the water. It's tap water. Right out of the tap. It's not the pretty feet. I'm going to save you from taking off my shoes and my socks and showing you my feet. I will tell you right now, Stacy thinks they look like Fred Flintstone feet. I got a big old fat big toe. My feet are square. They're as wide as they are long. The box that the shoe comes in usually fits my feet better than the shoe. There's nothing pretty about my feet. But Paul says, how beautiful are the feet that spread the gospel. How beautiful are your feet when you share it. I'm looking at some of you right now that are responsible, that are sitting next to people, that are big influences for sharing that gospel with the people you're sitting next to. Your children, your friends, your neighbors. Beautiful are they that share that gospel. Philippians, the first chapter, Paul writes to the Christians in Philippi, says, "For I know that this will turn out." Paul's sitting in prison right now. Paul's writing this from prison. He says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now, also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. I can only imagine the tears that would have been shed by the Philippians when they read this portion of his letter. There's a lot of good things in the book of Philippians. But when they read this, that their beloved Paul is to the point, he's run the race. He's fought the good fight. He's ready to depart. But for you, I'll keep fighting a little longer. I will keep preaching the gospel a little longer. I'm ready to go. But for you, I'll keep preaching. He sees that necessity. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. He feels a great need to. And I'd like to bring it all back and read this verse one more time. 1 Corinthians 9:16. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. As we go into this new week, let us have that attitude that we've got to let our light shine, that we have got to be an example, that we have got to let others know of that hope that's in us. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need prayers, if you need to repent of sin, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, whatever your need, if you'd come forward while Colin leads us in the invitation, we'll address your needs. Let us stand.